About the nonsensical ravings of a lunatic mind.
Let us never tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories.
You know, it is, it's just awfully good that someone with the temperament of Donald Trump is not in charge of the law in our country.
Because you'd be in jail.
You know, we've seen three glowing figures out in the field. It seemed like their heads were glowing.
This is Jim.
Hey, and this is Mike.
Be sure to listen to
the Jim and Mike Talk Podcast.
Two Gen Xers walk into a bar
to talk about music
and what moves them.
You can find us on iTunes, Spotify,
and our host site, Podbean.
And now, on to the Paranormal Patriot.
Everybody, it's that time of the week. The time of the week when you get a new episode of the Paranormal Patriot. Yes, you are now tuned into the latest episode of the Paranormal Patriot. I am your host, as always, wearing the tinfoil hat. My name is Tom Velasquez. So happy to be with you today. Now, this week's show, I didn't do a lot of research for this show. It's actually been kind of an easy week because this week, the illustrious governor in the state of Michigan has issued numerous executive orders. I want to go over those because they make absolutely no sense. She seems to be following other governors, I mean, in step. It's actually kind of funny when you think about it. But one of my great listeners, you might have heard me talk about him recently on the show, Sean Ryan, he has become a huge contributor to the subject matter of the Paranormal Patriot. He emailed me a couple things. He wanted to talk about what his thoughts on the UFO situation that I talked about last week were. I'm going to talk about that and a couple other listeners' responses to that. But he also emailed me, said, "Hey, Tom, it's not just your state, man. Here in Wisconsin, our governor is an idiot, too. He's making rules that nobody can make any sense of." So we're going to talk about what's happening in Wisconsin. We're going to talk about, again, what our governor, she issued, I think, four or five executive orders just this week, and they make no sense. We're going to talk about that. But I'm also going to talk about what else happened in the world this week. It was a crazy week. Beirut blew up. Oprah was Oprah. What else are we going to talk about? Donald Trump. Donald Trump said was at a Whirlpool factory in Ohio this week, and he made a statement, and a lot of people think it's a cryptic message. We're going to talk about what that message is, and who knows what else I'm going to talk about. But this week has been infuriating for me. Everything you hear, as I said, I did not do any research on the show this week. I wrote down the topics I wanted to talk about, and basically when I get a breaking news report, hey, governor did this, Oprah said that, Donald Trump said this, I just wrote it down because if it infuriated me, I wrote it down because I'm really, really tired of what is happening around me and around you. And what I want to do this week is I want to give you some talking points. The Democrats get all the talking points because they had the mainstream media just regurgitating the Democratic Party line views. So they have a great source of talking points. Do we have a great source of talking points? Well, you could talk about Rush, you could talk about Hannity, you could talk about Mark Levin. We're going to add the Paranormal Patriot into that mix. I'm going to give you some talking points that you can go up to your Democratic friends when they become lunatic and insane and shut them down. Because, you know, and this is the truth, you know when you shut a liberal down, when all they can do is call you racist, a fascist, a white supremacist, or, oh, yep, because Trump likes it, you like it. That's the only thing they can come back with. They can't come back with facts because facts are ugly, ugly items to a Democrat because If we went by facts, well, then they wouldn't have a leg to stand on now, would they? So this show is going to be really, really, A, important to me, and I'm going to have a great time doing it. And I want your feedback, because I know I have Democratic listeners out there that listen to the show for the paranormal aspect of it, but I got to hand it to them. There are some Democrats out there that listen, that hate what I have to say, but they come back every week. I hear from them every week. They come back every week just to hear the other side of the story. They get opposing views, which is an amazing thing if you're a Democrat, because most Democrats don't do that. So to those Democrats that do that, and you know who you are because I talk to you every week, kudos to you. You know, I told you I'd give you props on the show, and I'm a man of my word. I will. I'll give you props. But let's start the show. Now, as I mentioned, Sean Ryan is a listener in Wisconsin, and recently he has been emailing me, and he emails me constantly, and I don't want to make that sound like a bad thing. Because it's not. When I say I want to hear from my listeners, I really do. So between Sean Ryan and Brandon, who you know who you are, Brandon. I don't know if I can give your last name, so I'm not going to. But Brandon messages me all the time. And they have phenomenal show ideas. And I'm not going to make it sound like anybody else that only gives me a show idea every now and then is any less of a listener. But these guys are going above and beyond. But Sean, he got a hold of me and he said, Tom, you know, I understand what's going on in Michigan, but it's not just Michigan. He says, hey, man, I know this story is in Wisconsin, but it affects my area a lot, and I thought I would share. The city I live in was built by the paper mill that is closing due to our governor locking down the state of Wisconsin for months. Let me tell you, Governor Evers is not much better than your governor. He just made a mandatory mask mandate until the end of September. I think the Wisconsin State and Senate is going to block it, but I'm afraid he's going to go after the schools next. So the article that he attached is from the Washington Post, and of course the Washington Post isn't going to be derogatory about this. It's not, the paper mill isn't closing because of the governor's orders, it's closing because of COVID, which it's one and the same, right? But Wisconsin sells more paper, it employs more people, and has more paper mills than any other state. The industry, unfortunately, was already in decline, but it seems like the governor's orders have dealt it a death blow. At the end of this month, this plant, this huge paper mill plant, is going to be shut down. 900 employees are going to lose their job at the end of August. That is severely going to impact the economic stability, not only of the area, but for the whole state. Yes, the paper industry was in decline, but it was still employing 900 people. Now, at the end of July, the federal $600 extra a month or extra unemployment thing that was, and that's something I'm going to get into in a second here, but that expired. Now, today, Donald Trump just signed an executive order stating that $400, it's not going to be $600, but $400, if you're unemployed, you get an extra $400 a week. Let me just jump off base here. I do want to talk about that because, yes, people are hurting. Unemployment, you can't live off of unemployment. So, yes, getting that little extra is a great thing, okay? The problem is, you don't give out money for free. Somewhere, somehow, that is getting paid for. So we are going to pay for it. All of you that are not working and sitting home making more money than you were making before, thinking this is the greatest thing on earth. First off, that's preparing you for a life of socialism. Secondly, it is going to, I mean, the well's going to run dry. Eventually, there's not going to be any money. That money will have to be paid back. Now, my biggest issue on this, and again, I want to reiterate, you're off work, not by your own fault. It's your governor's fault. The governor of your state has shut down your industry. You cannot work. You cannot make an income. So the federal government comes in and says, hey, here's an extra $600. Now it's an extra $400 a week. That's a lot of money. A lot of people, that is more money than they were making before. So why would they want to go back to work? Beats me. But here's my issue, first issue. I and many of my listeners are deemed essential. I took a pay cut for the first couple weeks, huge pay cut, that I was really worried about how I was going to pay my bills. There was, you know, without the help of my listeners, this show would not be here. I would not have been able to keep up the internet, the host fees. It would not have happened. I would have had to divert that money to other places to pay for other bills. So thank you to all my listeners because you have helped continue this show. However, we as essential workers, we have taken a pay cut. A lot of other essential workers, they aren't getting a pay raise. Where are the essential workers in all this? Why are they not getting helped out? Because honestly, if it wasn't for the essential workers, this whole country would have been screwed by the dog. And I mean, even more so than they are now. The essential workers in this country, and if you are an essential worker, I'm assuming you agree with me. And if you're not an essential worker, you know what? You need to agree with me. But the essential workers in this country need some sight, some type of incentive, some type of bonus, some type of something from the federal government. Now, where I work, I have an amazing boss who has helped us out as much as he can during this whole crisis. The federal government needs to step up and say, hey, to all the essential workers, the frontline workers, because honestly, we're out risking our, you know, if you listen to the government, risking our lives every day to be out there to make sure the people that need to be seen by a doctor, a hospital, police officers, firefighters, EMTs, electricians, auto repair facilities, anything that's deemed essential. We are risking our lives, according to the government, because COVID is so deadly, apparently, and the lives of our families and loved ones. Where do we get an incentive? Where do we get a, hey, nice job, here's a little bit extra? We don't. But the people who can't work, and again, it's not their fault. I get that. It's not their fault. They need a little bit of help because honestly, unemployment doesn't pay squat. You cannot support a family on unemployment. So I don't mind them getting that. My issue is, why aren't the essential workers getting their due? And I'll tell you why. It's because to pay the essential workers will not gain anyone any votes. It's as simple as that. They are coddling and going after the votes of those on unemployment. The rest of us, whatever, fend for yourself. But here's my big issue. My other issue, I should say. In my state, my governor has resisted opening up. She opened up a little, then closed us right back down. She has directly impacted families. She has directly impacted their livelihood, their ability to fend for themselves. So what does she do? She takes a 10% pay cut. You want action? I'm telling you right now. You make it a law that if any governor that has shut down their state, they have to withdraw their pay. They do not get any pay. That pay that they would receive goes into a fund. I don't care if it's to fix roads, if it's to help out with child trafficking. I don't care what it is. But that governor and that staff does not receive a paycheck during the whole time that they shut down their state. Why do the governors, and trust me, governors are making a really, really good living. They are not hurting for money. So when our governor says, I'm taking a 10% pay cut and I'm putting all my state workers on one day furlough, guess what? I already put you on unemployment. Meanwhile, you have hundreds and thousands of people who are on unemployment since March that still haven't got a paycheck. But you know what? Your state workers are taken care of. It's pandering to votes. But you take away her paycheck, you want to watch shit open up real quick, it will happen. I'd like to see that happen. One state. I don't care what state it is. It can be Michigan. I would love it to be Michigan. It can be Wisconsin. It can be Nevada. It can be Washington, Oregon. I don't care. But one state where the governor has said, we can't afford to have businesses open, so we're going to shut them down. And, you know, I'm going to tell you right now, if you have a business or if you know of a business where you live that has not been open since March, it's not going to open up again. You are going to see hundreds of thousands, if not millions of businesses fail. And it's because of governor, of politicians. How does that make you feel? We are letting a politician control our life, control our livelihood. That does not sit well with me. Let's move on to the next subject because that one's getting me a little hot and bothered. We're going to come back. So in this day and age of wokeness, where if you're not Black Lives Matter, you're not woke. In this day and age, Oprah of all people, she hosted what has been called a white guilt session. She says whiteness gives you an advantage no matter what. This is coming from a Black billionaire in the United States. You want to talk about a just hypocrite. Listen to my Black people, to my Black Lives Matter, to my white people who support Black Lives Matter saying they don't have a shot in this country. Do you realize that if you are Black in America, you have the best life you could ever have anywhere else on this planet? You do realize that, right? You may feel like you are oppressed. I tell you what, let's do an experiment here. You may feel like you are oppressed in America. And you very well may be. I'm not a Black man. I had an argument on Facebook. I'm getting into more of these Facebook arguments because I can't stand it anymore. I had a lady tell me, "Tom, you've never been Black. You don't know what it's like to be a Black man." You know what? I don't. I cannot look at things from a Black man's point of view. But we're going to do an experiment. If you feel that this country is so horrible and you've been so oppressed, go back to, let's just call a spade a spade. Let's go to Africa. Go back to your home country and go see how you're living there. You may not be as oppressed, maybe, maybe not. I mean, Africa is not the most tolerant place in the world. But I guarantee you, you may feel like you're being oppressed in America, but you will never have a better life anywhere else on this planet than you will have in America. And the biggest thing is, you will never have a better opportunity to have a great life. That opportunity, be it Black, be it white, be it Hispanic, be it Asian, whatever nationality you are, you will never have another opportunity, a better opportunity to make your life the best life you can make it anywhere else on the planet except here in America. Fact. That is an absolute fact. The standard of living, the average wages, the lifestyle that the African Americans live in America. You may be an African American and you may be struggling. You may be living in the inner city, but I guarantee you, you have a roof over your head. You probably have a car and you probably have food somewhere in your house. You will not have that opportunity anywhere else on this planet. And if you want to, if you really choose to get off your behind and stop living off the government dollar, you can better yourself if you work hard and do the right thing. Simple. America's not that hard. America is a business. The United States, actually the whole planet's a business now, but America is a business. America is a business. And a business rewards those that do well at their job. They work hard and they do the right thing. They do not reward the people that break the rules, that don't come into work when they're supposed to, and don't come in at time, and when they get to work, they don't do anything. They don't reward them. They end up losing their job. It's a simple equation, everybody. Go to work. Get a job. When you get a job, do the best you could possibly do at that job. Be better than anybody else there. And I guarantee you, as a business owner, that business owner is going to look at you and say, that is an asset to this company I cannot lose. You will either get more money or you will get promoted and get more money. It's not a matter of your skin color. And to be honest with you, right now, There is racism in this country, but it's against white people. There is a definitive movement against white people, and Oprah spelled it out. In her quote-unquote conversation, she had, well, the conversation, first off, was entitled Uncomfortable Conversations with a Black Man, Part 1. And what she did, she invited several white people to discuss racism, white privilege, and whiteness, and then went on to praise her white guests for accusing themselves of being racist. Because today, as a white person, you're not woke until you realize that you are a racist. So she went on to say that, these are white people who are not as powerful as the system of white people. It's a system that's been put into place, but they still, no matter where they are on the rung or ladder of success, they still have their whiteness. So in other words, these white people who decided to go on Oprah's show and say, I'm a racist, it's not enough because you're still white. You have all the privilege. She says, whites have a leg up. You still have your whiteness. That's what the term white privilege is. It means whiteness gives you an advantage no matter. Then she went on to say, or she brought on a guy named Seth. Seth was a self-described Jewish man from Manhattan, New York, and he was there to describe his awakening to his own racist self. She asked, or she said to him, you've become woke during this period and realized in the awakening that you are racist, right? I just want to know how that happened. He went on to reply, this white Jewish boy from Manhattan, I was born in the 70s. I was born and raised in Manhattan. I've always considered myself to be a liberal. Now, I'm not only a friend of people of color, but also an advocate for them because this movement over the last month has been so powerful. Then Seth, he indicted himself as a racist who is aspiring to become an anti-racist. He says, I realized that I couldn't be not racist. I realized that I either was a racist or an anti-racist, and I wasn't, and I'm not an anti-racist. And then Oprah brings on Lisa, who was raised in Minnesota and moved to California. She attributed bias to all white people, warning of unconscious biases that white people, that we as white people have. And then Emmanuel Acho, who is a former NFL player, said, whites living a white life become part of the problem. Yes, you heard it. Whites living a white life. He says, here's what I told friends with their white children. I said, y'all live in a white cul-de-sac, in a white neighborhood, in a white city, in a white state. If you were not careful, your children will live their whole life white. At the ages of 26, 27, they'll end up being part of the problem because you just let them and allowed them to live completely white, sheltered, and culturedless life. He says America is run by whites. He says as a black person, white people, the proverbial phrase of white people, they run America. CEOs, Fortune 500 companies, execs, ownership, they run America, not as an individual white person, but collective white people. And then he declared, I firmly believe that if the white person is your problem, only the white person can be your solution. I am absolutely furious with this article. This is what they're pouring down our kids' throats right now. If you are white, you are a problem. If you live in a white cul-de-sac, in a white city, in a white state, in a white house, you are a problem. You don't understand cultures. You know what? I lived in a white neighborhood in a white cul-de-sac. I went predominantly to a white school. I lived in an upper-middle-class white community. You know what? It's all about parenting. You can say the same damn thing about black kids. Black kids that live in a black neighborhood, in a black city, in a black state, in a black cul-de-sac are racist against white people. And you know why? Because that's how they're taught. Most people, my parents taught me, there's no difference between white and black. What is different is the person's character. You could have a black guy walking down the street in a hoodie, looking all thugged out, and you know what? He could be the nicest guy in the world, but you have this high-profile white guy in a suit and tie. He could be the biggest prick in the world. You can't judge a person by their color. This is not a racism problem. It's a parenting problem. If you teach your children that black people are bad, if you teach your children that all white people are racist, that they have white privilege, what do you think those kids are going to think? How do you think those kids are going to grow up? This is not a racial problem. This is a parenting problem, which is 90% of the problems in this country is parenting. People don't know how to parent anymore. You have to interact with your kids. You have to tell your kids right and wrong. When they do something wrong, you have to punish them. You know, when I was growing up, my ass and my father's belt had an intimate relationship because I was doing stupid shit. But the thing is, if I got busted doing something stupid and I got my ass whooped for it, I didn't do something that stupid thing again. I just did something else stupid and got my ass whipped. But my parents taught me. They taught me. It doesn't matter what color that person is. It's what his character reveals. And that's what we need to be preaching to these kids. That's what we need to be preaching to these Black Lives Matter. You know, I had a listener send me an email. And I think I've gone over this before, and if I have, I apologize, but I need to go over it again. But it was basically just harassing the police. You know, why do the police always have to go into black neighborhoods? They always seem to target black neighborhoods. And it's a simple solution. It's a simple answer to that question. Where is the crime? Is the crime in the white suburban areas where people are getting gunned down? No. It's in the inner city ghettos where people are getting gunned down. Look at Chicago. Chicago is an absolute war zone. Why would you not want police to patrol that area? People are dying in astronomical, amazingly terrifying numbers in Chicago, and people wanted to fund and get rid of the police department. It blows my mind because when these liberals, when they have an issue, okay, let's just put a hypothetical question out here right now, okay? What happens when, let's just use Antifa, because they're jackasses. Let's just use them as an example. What happens when they have somebody stand up against them and start beating the shit out of them? What happens to them? What's the first thing they do? Call the cops, get the cops here. Okay, to all of you idiots that want to disband the police department, do you realize you are giving free rein to all these militia, biker gangs that are being withheld or restrained by the law? If there is no law, Portland, Minneapolis, you get these idiots out there that want to disband the police. Who are you going to have protect you? Because at that point, it's free game. You come out and you start hooting and hollering and rioting and looting and burning buildings. At that point, it's the Wild West. There's no law and order. There's no police there. People take the law into their own hands. So you're going to get these patriots out there, these conservatives that want the police, that don't want their cities to be destroyed. They're going to go out there and they're going to retaliate and they're going to defend their cities. And it's going to be a bloodbath because who's got the guns in the country, people? The Republicans, because they know why the Second Amendment exists. It's there to protect them against the idiocy that is going on now. Speaking of guns, the district attorney in New York has filed a lawsuit to disband the NRA. So they can't go out. They haven't been successful going after our guns legislatively. You know, there's too many people that say, no, that's not going to happen. So what are they going to do? They're going to disband the NRA. And it's just a slow process that's going to speed up. If they are able to disband the NRA in New York, you watch out. Every liberal governor is going to do that. What does that tell you? Listen, why is the government so afraid of guns? Do you honestly think the Democrats really care about these mass shootings? No, they don't. They do because there's a movement to remove the guns and, hey, we can get some votes that way. That's all that this is about. Every last bit of this is all about getting votes. But there is a reason for the Second Amendment. It is to protect ourselves against a tyrannical government. A government in many states. Look at Virginia. Virginia, Governor Northam. He is just obliterating the Second Amendment in that state. Now, I understand each state has its right to its own laws. That's how it works. Again, that's how it works. You know, everybody's all upset in Michigan. Well, not everybody, but the freaking liberals in Michigan are all upset because President Trump is not helping out the governor. You know, not giving them giving her the funding she's requesting. You know why? Because the states control their own destiny. The federal government is just like an overseeing eye. That is how the founding fathers set up the Constitution and the federal government. They're going to be this overseeing eye, overlooking everything. At the crux of it, the states are in control of their own destinies. The states make their own laws. So in Virginia, they can make a law banning assault weapons, banning guns. But you know what? That doesn't mean that people have to live there. You can turn Virginia into a absolute liberal bastion. All those Republicans in Virginia, they go bye-bye. They may move somewhere that is a liberal state. They may move to, I don't know, Georgia. They may move to Florida to make that. So Texas, Georgia, Florida, they may move to California, turn California into a Republican state. Right now, Governor Cuomo in New York is begging the quote-unquote rich people of New York to come back. Please come back. I know my policies are shit. I know I'm taxing you through the roof. Come back. Why did they leave? Because they're being taxed through the, you know what? You can't make any money in New York if you're rich because they will tax every bit of profit you ever make away from you. So what do these people do? They just move to a state where, I'm not getting taxed that much. This state here, let's say Florida, for example. Florida, if you make a lot of money, you're a great entrepreneur. Good job. You've earned it. This is what socialism is, everybody. We are seeing it in full effect here. Now, we're going to take a quick break. When I come back, I'm going to explain to you why we have socialism right on our doorstep. And people are just embracing this, and they don't know what they're embracing. So this is a segment you really need to listen to because it's going to have a lot of great talking points. So sit back, relax, open that mind. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I will be right back.
For your Mars, I'm the healing for your scars, I'm the nighttime for your stars. You don't have to look so far, watering the family tree, ever after happily. If the earth falls to the sea, in your arms is where I'll be. We already are, you and me, psychically into...
This is Harvey Gott, and I'm the host of Satire Is Not Dead. Join me every Wednesday for new episodes. Satire Is Not Dead is in the Cinescape Media Network. You can learn more about this program and other programs by visiting cinescape.media. This is Harvey Gott, and I'm your host.
And I grace with the touch over moonlit streets. Set it close, leave my skin on the west coast heat. Hope it stays to the lips, keeps me up for the rest of the night. Keep your eyes shut tight, let your body see. Hear the sound of the waves like if God...
Okay, so you heard about in Wisconsin, the governor and his policies have caused the economic stimulus in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, to close down. Here in Michigan, and I know this is how it is in other states, our governor this week, last week I told you she mandated masks. I think it was last week. She mandated masks anywhere indoors, banned any gathering of 10 people or more, which... when you're driving through my town, I don't know where it is where you live, but driving through my town, obviously people are not adhering to that because there's so many graduation parties, people getting together. People don't care anymore. But this week, at the beginning of this week, Governor Gretchen Whitmer put out one of her many executive orders mandating that the Michigan State Police start enforcing people, and fining, inciting people and businesses. In other words, We have an order that if you're indoors, you have to wear a mask. You have to wear a mask. If you have a business, you have to make your people wear a mask. People weren't doing it because people are fed up with this bullshit. So she said, I'm pissed. So here's my order now. I mandate the Michigan State Police to cite any business, any customer not wearing a mask, and fine them. And if you're a business that is not adhering to my executive order, you will be shut down until I deem it necessary or I allow you to open again. She has mandated the state police. Now, granted, this is the same governor that walked against the police, hand-to-hand, no social distancing, with Black Lives Matter. She is voting to defund the police, and she is mandating these same police officers to mandate and enforce her executive order. You want to know what a lot of these state police officers are saying? F you, Governor. F you. It ain't going to happen. So she's losing her clout is what's happening. So I think, and this is my opinion, and anybody listening in Michigan, and even those who are politically minded and watching what's going on around the world or around the country, let me know. Let me know what you think. But I think what's happening is she's realizing that she has no control anymore, that people are just going to do what they want. Yeah, she has her followers. I had an argument with many of them this past week. They're just brainwashed, absolutely unequivocally brainwashed. I have family members that are right in that mold. She's realizing she's lost control. So the executive orders came out hot and heavy. She has mandated, and for those of you, I don't know if any other state has done this or not. And if you have, let me know at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net. We have school coming back up. And they just changed my kid's school date. They bumped it back a couple days to be ready because people just don't care. Teachers don't want to teach. They don't want to be in front of the same kids every single day. Listen, teachers, love you. Love you. You do a great job. But listen, you are not special. There are people like me that come in contact with people every single day, different people every single day. I talk to 20, 30 people in person every day. Police officers, at least that. EMTs, at least that. Firefighters, who knows how many. Doctors, nurses, who knows how many they see every single day. You can wear a mask and you can teach the same kids every single day. That's what you're paid for. If you can't do it, sorry, you don't get a job. And for those who are like me, I'm not sending my kids to school for the simple reason that I'm not making them wear a mask all day. They have to, in my state, they have to wear a mask from the time they, well, in my case, my kids will walk on the bus. From the time they walk on the bus, from the time they get home, they have to have a mask on, which is absolutely barbaric. There is no way. I wear a mask for 5 minutes, and I just don't feel comfortable. And listen, our governor this week, going back to my original point, the executive order she put out is any child 2 years old or older. I want you to think, if you're a parent, think of your kid when he or she was 2 years old. Think about that. 2 years old. And if any other state is doing this, I really, truly want to hear from you, because I don't know of any other state that's mandating children as young as 2 years old. They have to wear a mask. How many freaking two-year-olds do you know that can do that, that are going to do that? My kids are older. Oldest will be 26 this December. Youngest is just turned 11. They have a hard time. Well, maybe not my oldest because he's a liberal, but my kids have a hard time wearing masks for any extended period of time. You show me a two-year-old that is going to keep their mask on all day. That's not going to touch it. That's not going to adjust it. Now, I just got an email or a message. I don't even know what it was, but basically the layout of the school year for my kids. Now, again, I'm not sending my kids to school while masks are mandatory. A, I don't think it's fair to them. B, it's not conducive to a good learning environment because they're going to be uncomfortable. So my kids are going to be learning online, which I hope is much better than the online courses they had to take from April to June, because in April and June, April through June, in where my kids go to school, it was basically, if you log in, you pass. Good job, you graduated. Literally, that's what it was. So hopefully over this summer, they have come up with a plan on how to teach these kids something. But in school, this applies to the seniors in high school all the way down to the kindergartners, which in my school district, they call them beginner gardeners, whatever, which are what, 5, maybe 6 years old? They have to wear a mask all day. And if the teacher is teaching class, this was honestly in their notes. This is what they sent all the parents. If that child during the course of the day, anytime during the day, if the teacher notices them taking the mask off or adjusting it, they stop teaching. They stop teaching and they turn it into a learning experience. They don't disparage the child. They don't discipline the child, but they turn it into a learning experience. So your kindergartners through your fifth graders, what do you think the whole day is going to be about? It's going to be about how not to touch your mask, how you got to wear your mask. Well, you're not wearing your mask right. Why are we wearing a mask? Who knows why we're wearing a mask? They're going to start talking about math. 2 plus 2. Oh, Billy Joe there. You touched your mask. Let's stop what we're teaching all of our children and teach you how to use a mask. This is why I do not want to send my kids to school. It's not going to happen. It's not because I'm fearing for their lives. It's not because I think this COVID thing is so deadly. On the contrary, I think it's an absolute freaking joke. I think it's blown way out of proportion. So we're going to take kindergartners through 12th graders and make them wear masks all day. Now, they did say, well, there are times during the day where we're going to let them go outside and take off their masks. Listen, Johnny over here is going to see Jenny with the cool Scooby-Doo mask, and she likes the cool Transformer mask. You don't think they're going to trade masks? What's the freaking point? It's worthless. It's useless. If it's that bad, if we can't be together, we have to wear a mask, then just do online all over. Just do it all over the district. It's just infuriating. Moving on. Another executive order our illustrious governor put out this week is, well, she determined racism is a health crisis. And in the interim, during her speech, she basically told every medical worker, every doctor, every nurse practitioner, every receptionist, anybody in a hospital or in a doctor's office, you're racist. Because black people do not get the same type of treatment as white people. That is exactly, I'm summing it up for you, but essentially that's what it was. And again, it was a parade of black people out there telling us how horrible it is for the black people and the COVID thing. I'm sure it is. I'm sure it has nothing to do with them fucking protesting. I'm sure it has nothing to do with them going out and partying all night. It has nothing to do with that. Because if you protest, you don't get the virus if you protest. It's a very selective virus. And speaking of that, let's back up a little. Here's my issue. You can go protest. You can go loot. You can go burn buildings. You can assault people. That is okay. You know what? Do your thing. You're fine. This is according to the Democratic governors in this country. You can loot. You can burn. You can assault people. That's fine. You are just exercising your rights. But if you don't wear a mask in a store, you can be cited, fined, and arrested. What in the hell is going on in this country? You can have people assault people to the point of near death or killing people. Yeah, well, that's just the price of, you know, what's going on. That is their right. They're upset. They have a right to do that. But you go into a store without a mask. Let's back up. I was at a open house today. There was probably 30, 40 people there. The house behind them, my wife looks over and says, "What are they doing?" I look over in the window. The neighbor is looking at the party through binoculars. You want to know what that neighbor was doing? That neighbor was counting the amount of people at that party so she could call the Michigan State Police and file a complaint. We left. We left shortly right after that. I'm like, look, I'm not getting fined $500. This is fucking bullshit. Pardon my language. I'm pissed. And, you know, I'm going to put an explicit tag on this one because I need to. But this is the socialist state I was talking about in the last segment. People don't realize your governor, your government is telling you what you can do, where you can go, how you're going to go there. And if you don't follow their rules, you can't do it. You can't associate with people. You can't go into that store. You can't get that gasoline. And if in my state, and again, I don't know about your state, tell me if it's true. My state, the government is encouraging people to turn people in. Our governor said, if you see somebody not following this mandate, turn them in. Tell me what that sounds like. Does that not sound like Nazi Germany? Does that not sound like a German turning in a Jew? How scary is that? But there are people out there that are like, yeah, you're not following the rules. You're going to jail. You're going to jail. Ladies and gentlemen, this is socialism. You are seeing it firsthand. And the scary part is this is just the tip of the iceberg. We let this slide. It just gets deeper and deeper and worse and worse and worse. You know, in Venezuela, they started tearing down statues. They changed the flag. They rioted. They burned. They looted. Because they wanted a better future. They wanted everybody to be equal. The problem with socialism is nobody's equal. The only thing that's equal in socialism is the government and the media. Are the elites. Everybody else fends for themselves, and they have no way to fend for themselves because the government tells you what you can and can't do. And the government has total control. They're not going to give up control. By giving up control, that means you can do something that you want to do. Why do you think the media in this country is leaning so far left, is so hell-bent to bring on socialism? Because they know they've got a free ride. They've followed the party line, the Democratic Party line. So when socialism comes in, it's coming in from the Democrats. They've got a free rein. They've got the golden ticket. That's why people don't see it. The people that are following the Democrats right now are going to be so severely blinded when this comes. It's coming. I don't know if it's going to come in November. I don't know if it's going to come shortly after that or the next election cycle. I don't know, but it's coming. There's too many of the young generation that have been brainwashed and indoctrinated that this is the right thing to do. They're woke, and they're turning the media with the Democrats are turning the country into a woke country. We don't need to be woke. We need our history. Our history is who we are. Just because you don't like our history doesn't mean you have to eliminate it. Just don't follow our history. You know, you don't like slavery? Good. Don't destroy slavery. Don't destroy the statues of slave owners. Keep them up. So you remember, that's a slave owner. I don't want to go back to that. Let's talk about Hamilton. I've talked about Hamilton on this show before. I love Hamilton, the play. Love it, love it, love it, love it. Watched it again today. There are people out there that are demanding Disney Plus take down Hamilton because it talks about our forefathers, and our forefathers were slave owners. Well, obviously, they've never listened to Hamilton because Hamilton, Alexander Hamilton, was all about freeing the slaves. My theory on that is that when you watch Hamilton, you get a sense of pride for this country. You know, we stood up against a vastly superior British army and took our freedom. I think the Democrats don't want people to see that because it brings out a sense of patriotism for this country, where you have a love for your country and what those people back then did to secure our country and make this country the greatest country this planet has ever seen. That's my thoughts. I don't know. Now, the last thing, and this is the best one. On Friday, our illustrious governor issued an executive order banning the press from all her press conferences. She is stating that, well, we can't have more than 10 people in a room at a time, so between me and my 50,000 guests that I have rolling up to the podium every time, plus my security detail, we can't have the press there. Oh, okay. If we're socially distancing, I don't see a problem with that as long as we're wearing masks. See, this is the hypocrisy of it. We can't have more than 10 people in a room, even though we're socially distancing and wearing masks. I thought that was what stopped this virus from spreading. But no, you want to know the real truth? She was starting to get tough answers or tough questions, and she didn't have the answers for them. People were starting to ask questions. Well, why are you letting this happen and not this happen? So now she is banning the press from all her press conferences, and she will only take 6 questions online. And I can guarantee you, those 6 questions are going to be such softball questions. I can only imagine the first question going to Governor Whitmer that she picks and chooses online. Governor Whitmer, how are you able to withstand the assault by those on the opposite side of the aisle of you in this horrible pandemic? How do you continue to do such a great job? You know, it's going to be stupid stuff like that. Like, Governor Whitmer, what cereal did you eat for breakfast today? Do you like cornflakes or Cocoa Puffs? This is socialism 101. Everybody was so... I got banned from a couple podcasting sites on Facebook because I called her a tyrannical dictator in one of my liner notes. I got banned. This is what a tyrannical dictator does. If I'm getting too hard of questions that I don't want to answer, screw you. I'm not having the press in my press conferences. Wake up, people. I don't know any other state that has a governor that has done that. She can use the 10 people, no more than 10 people. That's bullshit. And she knows it's bullshit. Everybody knows. But she's going to use it. She is getting she's getting pushback now. And like I say, she's just putting out executive order after executive order because she doesn't care, because she knows she's a lame duck now. People have turned against her, and she knows it. You know, you're not going to hear that in the press. You're going to hear in the press, everybody loves what Governor Whitmer's been doing. Everybody loves it. It ain't true. You can listen to the mainstream media, and if you're hearing a story about how Michigan loves Governor Whitmer, you know it's a lie. People are turning against her. This is why she's just putting out these stupid, ridiculous, hey, state police, you have to mandate this order. You have to do it. State police is like, I don't have to do shit for you. So then she puts out 2-year-old and above have to wear a mask. Yeah, good luck with that one. Even the child care centers are all over this one saying, there's no way we can enforce this. Nothing. It's not going to happen. So you know what? Screw you. It's not going to happen. We're not going to enforce it. She is losing control, and her response to losing control is to try and gain more power, just flex her muscles and show everybody who's boss. She knows she's a lame duck. She knows it, and it's a great sight to see, but it's messing with the citizens in this state tremendously. All right, I'm going to take my quick last break, and then we're going to come back, and I'm going to have to cut it short. I'm way too long on this show as it was. But we're going to talk about real quickly the UFO question I posed to all my listeners. What's going on? You are listening to the Paranormal Patriot. Stick with me. I will be right back. Said you were looking for some kind of closure. Never gonna find it here. Can you read the atmosphere? I'm not looking for any excuses for you to come over. Trying to think of what it is that could have gotten you like this. Hey, you've heard him on this show. It's time to hear him on his own show. You need to find Vanishing Gates with Jay Miles. Jay Miles was on this show and enlightened us all with his wisdom and his knowledge. If you're into the supernatural, the paranormal, or true crime, you owe it to yourself to find Vanishing Gates. Vanishing Gates is a thought-provoking, knowledgeable, interesting, very interesting podcast hosted by Jay Miles. If you haven't listened to the podcast that I had with Jay Miles, you need to go back and find it and listen to it. You will be enlightened. You will come out of that with more knowledge than you came into it with. Again, if you like the paranormal, if you like the supernatural, if you like true crime, you owe it to yourself to find Vanishing Gates with Jay Miles. And of course, it's Paranormal Patriot approved.
You got the upper hand, I've been down on my luck. Yeah, I've had better days, but of high, steep falls. There's a reason why people love an underdog. Battles on one, they just show who you are. And in the end, you know I'm a good mind. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon enough.
Okay, we're going to make this segment pretty quick. I'm going to have to cut it more short than I really wanted to because I want to give a couple shout-outs first. I received a lot of emails, honestly. And they're still coming in about my wife, and please continue to pray for her because Monday she starts her new treatment, her radiation treatment, and she has to be quarantined. She cannot be around anyone for a week because they're going to be introducing so much radiation into her body. It's kind of scary. So please pray for her on that. It starts Monday. But I got an email. I wanted to just reiterate to you, it starts off, I just listened to one of your podcasts and liked the content, but I was concerned when you spoke about your partner and was compelled to send a message. I hope all is well, for the most part, with you and your family, considering the current situations. I can't begin to imagine the pain your family is going through, but when I'm feeling hopeless, I look through the recesses of my mind, so to speak, and muster and scrape my inner strength to get past times of trouble. Your family is in my thoughts, and I will be listening. And that came from a new fan. And that is just the epitome of what I've been receiving from all of my listeners. Just so much support. You know, back in 2017, when we found out my wife had cancer, I received an abundance. And I was shocked at how much hate mail. You know, oh, I'm glad. Serves you right. You know, from liberals that were just ecstatic that my wife had cancer, and I couldn't do it anymore, and I shut the show down for pretty much 6 months and came back because of my listeners wanting to hear my thoughts and my views on my show. And when I asked all my listeners a couple weeks ago to pray and kind of updated you on the condition of my wife, I was a little apprehensive because of what happened prior. And you guys have come out in force and just the weird thing is a lot of people are like, hey, Tom, I don't agree with your views, but you know what? I'm praying for you. I'm praying for your family. I hope everything works out. And it's, you know, we're not as divisive as we are being told we are. You know, we're people. We understand people have different views. There are so many good people out there, and this is one of them. I mean, this is the epitome. This is a great uplifting email that I received from a listener, and I can't thank them enough, and they know who they are. You know, I emailed them back. I hope it went through. It went from my phone, and that's kind of iffy at times, but if you didn't get the email, here's my response. Thank you. Absolutely, unequivocally, thank you. You have no idea how much these uplifting words mean to not only myself, but to my wife. Because I'll tell her, hey, listen, so-and-so sent you this, so-and-so sent you this. And it lifts her spirits, and it helps her, because we're all worried, you know. If you're putting that much radiation into somebody that they have to be quarantined because they're so radioactive for a week, that begs the question, is the is the cure any worse than the disease? I mean, I know radiation's not good for you, but, you know, this is, I think I went over it before. It's a very high-tech radiation treatment that specifically targets the cancer cells, and, you know, you just secrete radiation after that. She is going to be confined into our bedroom for a week. I've moved my bedroom to the, we kind of converted our dining room into my bedroom. We've got a fold-out couch, and I'll be sleeping there for at least a week. And everything she touches has to be sanitized, cleaned. Anything, you know, the sheets, the clothes she wears has to be washed at least twice. I mean, that's scary. That's not right. But this is our best hope at stopping the progression of this cancer. You know, she's willing to do it. We know there's going to be side effects, but, you know, sometimes in life you gotta, I don't know. I don't even know how to say it, but she is going to be strong, and she is going to hopefully get through this because she is the strongest woman I know. Basically, thank you. The great thoughts, the great thinking of you, I'm praying for you. They keep coming in, and honestly, keep them coming. She needs, especially now, because she will be having side effects and she will be down. Keep them coming. Keep them coming. But now, ending the show, I asked a question last week because I was on short time because I just got back from vacation and was just scrounging for news about this UFO release. And I really didn't get a lot of info. And I asked my listeners, and you guys came back in spades, and I'll talk. I want to go over Sean Ryan's response because he was the first one to respond, and that gives you special treatment. I'll go over other listeners' responses next week because I don't want to go any longer than I have to. I'm already over an hour on this show, but he responded because my question is, what's going on? What's going on with this UFO thing? I don't know if this is real or not. What? Somebody give me some insight. And he says, I was just thinking about your podcast, and you said you didn't know why it wasn't all over the news about UFOs. Well, Harry Reid said he misspoke the first time about if he received a craft from out of this world, he claimed. Now, do we believe that? That's a good question, Sean. He says he doesn't. Another thing that's really weird to me is 180 days the Pentagon has to disclose all or some of the UFO files. When is 180 days? Well, that would be February 2021. What else is happening in February 2021? The Perseverance rover, the Taiwanese One orbiter and lander rover from China, and the orbiter from the United Arab Emirates is going to be on Mars, you guessed it, 2021. So he went on to say there are reports that COVID restrictions could be fully lifted on February 2021. It's all adding up to something big that is going down to be announced on that month. I can't take all credit for this as I listen to a lot of podcasts and news. That's all for now. Talk to you later, man. Hey, Sean, again, you are contributing insane amounts of information to my show, and I thank you. If you want to be part of what Sean's doing, contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. But he's right. I mean, is it odd that all of these rovers are going to be on the planet Mars in 180 days, February 2021? Listen, you've got to be an absolute idiot to know that, or not know that there was life at one time on Mars. I mean, advanced life. Be it they came from another planet or they just evolved there, whatever. But there was life on Mars. So I think in February 2021, they may announce, we found life on Mars. Oh, by the way, UFOs exist. You know, it's as compelling of a theory as I've heard. Honestly, it's a great theory. So thank you, Sean. Lastly, I want to talk to you about Donald Trump and his comment at the Whirlpool Factory in Ohio. I need somebody's help on this. He was at the Whirlpool Factory in Ohio this past week, and he basically said, hey, you may not hear from me for a while. I've got a lot of enemies, a lot of rich enemies that are out to get me. You may not hear from me for a while. And that just spun a ton of conspiracy theories as to what was he saying. Was it cryptic? Was it a hidden message? I don't know, but when he flew out on his helicopter from the White House, literally everyone in his staff went out there to see him off, and that's unprecedented. So if you know about this story, even if you don't know, what do you think? Was he sending a cryptic message? Is something going on that we don't know about? Is he going to be just ushered away into a bunker somewhere to protect himself? Because there is something big coming down in the next day or two. I don't know, but that was a pretty cryptic message. I mean, even for Donald Trump. I mean, Donald Trump says some weird things. But for him to say, well, you may not see me for a while. Why? Why would he say that? I know I've got a lot of QAnon followers on this that listen to this show. Even if you're not a QAnon follower, what do you think he meant by that? We may know. We may know by the time you listen to this show. There may be something big that goes down tomorrow. And I'm going to post this show tomorrow. So this may be old news. I don't know. But regardless, contact me at GhostSeeker4 and let me know what you think. Do you think there was something that may have been cryptic in that message? Do you think it was just Donald Trump being Donald Trump? I don't know. But it was an odd, it was just odd. Even I heard it live. I was watching his speech and I heard it. And even me, I the minute he said it, I'm like, what was that all about? That doesn't make any sense. But it could just be Donald Trump being Donald Trump. So, hey, thank you for everybody on your kind words, your support for my family, for my wife, for my show. I do have a Patreon page if you would like to donate to keep the funds coming into the show to keep it up and running. That is patreon.com/theparanormalpatriot. Or I do have a PayPal account. A lot of people don't like doing the monthly account, and I agree. I hate the monthly account. That is The Paranormal Patriot. I believe it's on PayPal. I think it is, yeah. The Paranormal Patriot. So if you want to donate to the show, I'd greatly appreciate it. Every little bit helps. But most of all, thank you for listening. And even if you can't donate anything, I understand times are tough. Do what you can to spread the word of the show. Share the show. Tell your friends about the show. Let them listen. Even if they're Democrats, they can learn something from this. So I appreciate you listening this week. Spread the word. Spread everything you can about this show. Let's get this show even farther than it's going right now. You have been listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. Taking off the headphones, I'm going to leave you with this. And it's my catchphrase. Just sit back and relax. But most importantly, open that mind. Because when you open that mind, great things happen. So sit back, relax, open that mind. You have been listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez, signing off. Until next week.